This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
You're listening to Betting Weekly Syria on the BetRivers Network.
Well, hello and welcome to the Betting Weekly Serie A podcast brought to you in association with BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. You're with myself, Dan Roebuck, and alongside me, freelance Italian football journalist Daniele Fisichella. You can download the show, as we keep telling you. If you can't watch it on the YouTube channel for whatever reason, you can download it via normal podcast, usual channels. Make sure you subscribe so you get the show every single week, although we've only got two more shows to go before the World Cup. And obviously, you can watch all the games as well, all the Serie A games live on the BetRivers app. So if you are taking Daniele's advice, and you should be, then you can watch the action and watch the winners come in left, right and centre, because, Daniele, that's what they did last week. Fantastic. Five selections and sort of five winners. Well, four definite winners and one that was just a push. One, you got your money back. A really good weekend for you.
Yeah, best weekend so far. We got four selections, right? The money back was the over three goals in Atalanta-Napoli, which, by the way, they were scoring in the first half. So I thought, why not? They can go and score another one. But, you know, good win for Napoli as well. Deserved. So, yeah, we are on plus money. My aim is to finish on plus money up to the World Cup. So at least we get a break, you know, for 2 months. We can be on a plus money, enjoy the World Cup. And and then Serie A starts, returns with a bang on the 4th of January, of course.
Indeed it does. We are going to start this midweek slate of previews with Cremonese against Milan. Cremonese plus 550, Milan minus 195. They are the favourites. The draw plus 335. Over and under mark is 2.5. Overs minus 152, unders minus, plus 112. Obviously, we're going to talk about the champions, Milan, first and foremost, who left it late against Spezia at the weekend. Olivier Giroud has come out and said that he didn't realise he was on a yellow card, and then he gets booked for the celebration and gets sent off. He's going to miss this game. He's crazy, Daniel.
Yeah, totally. I mean, he said he's like a baby when he scores and he doesn't really think about it. But yeah, I mean, a bit strange to really get sent off to get your shirt off. But great goal from Giroud. He rescued them once again. Milan against Spezia, they look exactly like a team that's been playing Wednesday, Saturday for the last couple of months, which is what they did. And, you know, in between the two Champions League games that they negotiated very well against Dinamo Zagreb and Salzburg, they did look tired. They did look a little bit leggy. They lost to Torino. And against Spezia, because of the turnover, they weren't quite themselves. Okay, in the first half, they could have scored a couple, but then Spezia came out fighting, really surprising for a team that only scored one away goal. And what a goal by Daniel Maldini, by all people, of course, in front of his dad. He didn't celebrate, but you know, it was a very, very good goal. I'm sure the Milan fan will be happy about it, also because of the win. When they put Tonali in, out of a sudden, the game changed. Tonali, so important, breaking up the play, giving assist, making forward runs. The previous week, they left Bennacer out for a long time against Torino, and they suffered. With Bennacer and Tonali on the pitch, Milan are not a match for anybody in Italy but Napoli, probably at the moment. Obviously, the turnover, including the fact that they got a lot of players missing at the back, all the two right backs, Chiara as well. I think they're making changes. Of course, Magnan as well. You know, Tatarusano goalkeeping, kicking has not been the best recently. And now they go to Cremonese, and newly promoted Cremonese, still without a win, like Elche. So both teams still no wins in the five major leagues in Europe. But a positive sign from Cremonese, as I expected, they were going to score at Salerno. They're never going to get trashed, apart from they lost 4-0 to Lazio home and 4-1 to Napoli, but that was in the dying moments of the team, of the games. They do put up a fight. They have got goal scorers in Okereke, Derses a little bit less. It is a team that's got a precise style of play. Sometimes they don't execute it to perfection, and that's when they concede goals. It could be a win for Milan. We know that Milan, often when they are with the backs against the wall, they do react and win, and they've done it away many, many times. But it could be a win with goals. For this reason, I'm going to go for both to score here, minus 132.
That's a selection in the Cremonese-Milan game. Just one final point on the game. Obviously, Giroud's not going to play. Do we think Origi might start for Milan.
But he has to, although he's not been his best. He did score against Monza a couple of weeks ago. He doesn't offer quite the same presence, but he has to start, unless Pioli decides to go with a false nine, the likes of the Cattelaere there, but I don't think so. I think it is definitely another shift for Origi. Yeah, and which obviously is a bit of an headache for Pioli, to be fair.
Plus 440 to get the first goal. Origi, if he does start, plus 138 to score at any time. We know Giroud's been in fantastic form for Milan, but he will miss out for this one. Next up, we go to Wednesday, 8:45 local. It's Fiorentina against Salernitana. Fiorentina minus 182, Salernitana plus 520. The draw up plus 330. Fiorentina flying at the moment. They've won the last four in all competitions, not won five on the spin since spring of 2018. And they are scoring early here. Just looking at one or two of the stats, Danieli, before coming on. They're scoring early in goals. They are plus 102 to be leading at halftime, to score in the first half, minus 177. Goal in the opening 15 minutes, which they've achieved in the last three games, is plus 200. So they're a side that like to play on the front foot.
Absolutely. And the first goal they scored against Sampdoria after 2 minutes was exquisite. They had the ball basically on the corner flag next to the goal. And then thanks to Kouame, who dragged it outside of the corner, they scored a fantastic team goal with an assist from Dodò, finalized by Bonaventura. Exquisite play. That's what is more likely to be Fiorentina from what we've seen last season. Look, I think they had a difficult start. A few new players, they had to settle in. I think they were still missing Torreira. The balance in the midfield wasn't quite right. But no doubt about the qualities there. And now 4 wins on the bounce. Often always scoring more than 2 goals, so they are large wins. And now they haven't got Europe to negotiate anymore until February, of course, in the Conference League. I think we can see a better side from now on, as long as Italiano doesn't tinker too much with his starting 11. Against Sampdoria, they were really good. They only conceded one shot on target towards the end, so they were always going to be the winner there. Last season, Fiorentina, very strong at home, third team in the home table. They did well with and without Vlahovic, of course. But now Salernitana, ninth in the table. They let it slip against Cremonese 2-2. Okay, that's not a major issue because they've done it so well, especially at the Areki at home. 18 completely transformed the plays on the front foot. They added quality, the likes of Maggiore, Candreva, Dia, Piontek scoring again. And they got a very good manager in Davide Nicola, who's done the miracle last season. He even saved Crotone a few years ago. That was a proper miracle. So it's a stronger Salernitana with a good belief. They went to Rome a couple of weeks ago, won against Lazio, still did a very good game against Juventus away long ago. I think it's gonna be a high scoring game, this one. And I think the host will contribute to the scoring, but also the visitors as well. Salernitana, they could get a goal there. I like the over 2.5 goals. Doesn't pay amazingly well, -130, but I think it could be the most likely outcome here for sure.
Yeah, we're looking for goals in Fiorentina against Salernitana. Let's move on to Inter against Bologna. Also on Wednesday evening, Inter lost to Derby d'Italia on Sunday night. They had more possession, they had more attempts than Juve, but they didn't manage to win. Was it a game, Danieli, that the Inter should have won or should have got a point from, do you think?
They should have, for the way they played the first half. But in the end, I think based also on the way the Juventus came out in the second half, they were worthy winners. Look, Juventus use their resources to the best. They knew Inter were going to have more of the ball in the first half. They dug deep. They scored on the counter. They were threatening on the set pieces. And yeah, I think in the end, Allegri did the job, playing only with one striker up front, only with Milik, but, with Miretti and Fagioli, their dynamism, the youngsters, they look like they care more about these Juventus sides. And all of a sudden, we're seeing also the better side of Kostic, a good selection in defense, Danilo and Bremer, keeping Lautaro and Dzeko fairly quiet, I must say. Inter, 50 defeats of the season already. And they lost all the big games in Italy. They only won against Barcelona this season. I think this team has got two major issues. Sometimes they think they're better than the opposition and they don't seem to exert a lot of pressure, although we know these are tense games, of course. and they don't manage themselves very well in the tight margins, if you like. You know, when the game is tight, when it's a one goal lead, apart from those games against Barcelona, really, they haven't done it very well. And the second is the defense. They conceded 19 goals so far after 13 games. Last season, it took them 21 games to concede the same amount of goals. Is the dynamism, is the linking. I'm not sure the selection of Acerbi in place of Bastoni was the right one. So I think, Inzaghi has got a lot to think about it, really. And of course, I mean, Dzeko, they're asking too much from him. Without Lukaku, it's difficult for him to play 36-year-old every single game. They play against Bologna. Good side. 3 wins on the bounce. A second win coming from behind against Torino. Did really well because Torino had a lot of early chances, but then the changes of Thiago Motta made the change. You know, he put on Vignato, we barely saw. It was really good, the Italo-Brazilian. Orsolini, another goal from the bench. They had Arnautovic coming back into the side, didn't score, but help. I think we're looking at different side, much more attacking now, and they keep the possession better. Thiago Motta, of course, a former Inter player, going back to the San Siro, not for the first time, of course. Both to score here, minus 114. I'm not sure about the Inter defense, although the last few home games have been wins to nil, but I think Bologna are going to give it a right go here. Both to score, it could be maybe a small win for Inter, but I like both to score, minus 114.
Both teams to score at minus 114 is the selection. Bologna going well. Inter maybe a little leaky, but good for a goal themselves, as we know. Let's move on to a couple of Thursday games. We're going to do Verona-Juventus first because it's the earlier game. Then we'll do Lazio against Monza. Juve, as you mentioned, did a little bit of a job at Inter in the big game on Sunday. I just wanted to ask your situation, what you thought about Chiesa at the moment. He's been touted as obviously the saviour of Juve's season. We've seen him as a substitute last couple of games. Is he going to start maybe? Do you see him playing the last couple of games before the World Cup break?
It is a serious issue. It's a cruciate ligament issue. I think it takes at least of a month before being the proper Chiesa that we know, and maybe a couple of crunching tackles as well here and there. We need to see really to the real test of a game. I think he's going to feature more and more. We'll see maybe half an hour, obviously, because some players might need some rest. I don't think Juventus are going to count on Chiesa just yet. They might have a couple of returning players, probably Vlahovic. We might see a little bit of Di Maria. As I mentioned before, they've done the job on Inter, really, using the weapons they have, you know, counter-attack, being solid. The last 4 wins for Juve are 4 wins to nil, so they got the best defense in Italy. Are they completely cured? I don't think they are, because for some large spells, Inter had chances against a more clinical team. Juventus could easily finish the first half 2-0 down, and that was a mountain to climb. But, you know, they seem a little bit more resolute. Also against PSG, they put up a little bit more of a fight midweek. The bookies, by the way, considering everything the Juventus have gone through in the last 2 years, the odds for Juve to win are incredibly high, if you like, compared to who they're going to play, compared to the play Verona, who lost 8 games on the bounce and they cannot score a goal to save their lives, really. That's why I think you should go here. I mean, my idea is Juventus win coupled with an under 4.5 goals, which, you know, how many times this season Juventus scored more than 3 goals? Very, very unlikely, which pays plus 110. Because obviously, if you look at Verona, they were completely outplayed by Monza. It is a team that has lost a lot of quality in the summer with Barak, Caprari and Simeone going. We said it many times. Their midfield lacks quality. Again, against Monza, another sending off. So, as they did against Roma. So sometimes they shoot themselves on the feet as well. I don't think they're going to win this one. I think they're going to lose against Juventus. I mean, the Juve needs to finish the year strongly. Juve win and under 4.5 goals here, plus 110.
All of Verona's last 8 defeats have all been under 4.5 goals. So plus 110, we're squeezing a little bit more value out of this one. Juve up minus 122 just to win the game. And as Daniele points out, that's a fair price in itself, but you can boost that up with a Juventus win and under 4.5 at plus 110. Verona, incidentally, plus 365 to win the game, but they're in awful form at the moment. One more game to take a look at for us here. This is Lazio against Monza. Lazio minus 143, Monza plus 380, draw plus 310. Over and under mark is 2.5 goals, over minus 155, under plus 114. Massive win in the derby, Daniele, for Lazio against Roma. And they did it without Immobile. or Milinkovic-Savic. The latter will return. Is Immobile out now until the resumption after the World Cup, do we think?
He was on the bench against Roma, but he didn't come on. So maybe he might feature a bit in this one. And then the following Sunday, there is Juventus-Lazio. So we might have seen a little bit more of Immobile there. Of course, they need it. It wasn't a vintage derby di Roma, decided by an awful mistake from Ibanez inside his box that basically handed the goal to Felipe Anderson. He couldn't believe his luck. And then after that, it was a little bit of an assault to Fortapash, with Fortapash being Provedel's goal, because Lazio defended as they rarely do. But, you know, bodies on the line. It wasn't even that great to watch. Roma, they are in an awful form. They can't score since Dybala went out. Really, the lights gone out at Roma. They don't create even those clear-cut chances anymore. Yes, they hit the bar with Zaniolo, but that pretty much was it. And then Lazio, you know, dug deep, which is a phase of Lazio that sometimes we are not used to see. But, you know, after the disappointment at Feyenoord, where they were overrun by Feyenoord in the Europa League, they needed a response, and they got it. So it's a big win for Sarri, which, I mean, forget about Sarri ball, forget about the things we've seen at Napoli. This is a very direct Lazio. They can manage the rhythm of the games well, they can defend well, they can look after the ball well, but it's more of a clinical side, if you like, than a spectacular one. But, you know, deservedly, again, another big win after the one against Inter. So they think they deserve to be where they are. Monza on the counter, they won four games so far this season after they changed the manager. They always won 1-0, and when they win, they tend to really dominate the game, as they did also in the first time they won against Juventus. And more players are scoring for Monza, which is a good sign for them. They picked themselves up after the bad defeat against Bologna. They were a bit naive there. Over 2.5 goals here, because you mentioned here, Milinkovic-Savic is going to be back. Zaccagni is in good form. Lazio front three are working. Maybe we'll see Immobile in the second half. I mean, Monza, again, they can score one goal. So over 2.5 goals, minus 155.
We like that one in the game featuring Lazio and Monza. Just a word on Felipe Anderson. Did he play? I was looking at some of the starting sort of formations. Did he play through the middle in the derby? Do you think if Immobile is not going to start, then potentially he will play through the middle again? He's plus 525 to get the first goal, plus 170 to score at any time.
Potentially. They do interchange a lot, the front three, is true. I mean, between Pedro and Anderson, they do exchange position. Is Pedro giving the assist to Anderson, and Anderson through the middle? Yeah, he mostly played through the middle, but against Atalanta, he was more Pedro. There might be a chance for young Cancellieri, by the way, because we saw them in the second half. He had a good spell. Let's see how much Sarri wants to change the formation for this one, bearing in mind, of course, next Sunday, there is Juve-Lazio. That's the last big game before the break, of course. It's a massive game. Let's see how much turnover Sarri does.
And just before we take a look at a reminder of your selections and the handicappers table, I just want to ask you, because we've got a little bit of time, regarding the Scudetto at the moment. Napoli obviously top there, minus 182 to win the Scudetto. Milan plus 350, Inter plus 800, Juventus a plus 1100, even though Juve haven't had a good season at all, but you always sense that if they do manage to get it right, and you never know, they might invest depending over the course of the next few months to get players in January. Then we've got Atalanta plus 2000, Roma plus 2000, Lazio plus 3500, even though they're in third place. What if you were having a futures bet at the moment, where do you think it would be going?
Look, it's difficult to look past Napoli at the moment because, you know, 9 wins on the bounce. They won at Bergamo convincingly without Kvaratskhelia. They won games without Osimhen. The way Spalletti is managing the group, it's outstanding. And the numbers are outstanding. We're looking at 52 goals scored in 19 games. Now, Napoli's biggest enemy is the winter break, because obviously you do lose a bit of momentum, a bit of form. You got a couple of players going to the World Cup, the likes of Zielinski, the likes of Osimhen. It could be tough. However, Napoli have got two key games when the league restarts, which is the trip to Inter straight after the break, and then they still need to play Juventus. If they do negotiate those games well, and they put those two oppositions outside of the title race, bearing in mind they also beat Milan, so they have marginally a head-to-head advantage. You have to look at a massive slip up in the second part of the year, which you know, it's unlikely for what you've seen. So if you want to put a bet here, really, you should go Napoli. I think it's a good price. You should go Milan to win, excluding Napoli. If you think a comeback of Juventus, it could be Juventus to win, excluding Napoli, Juventus either way. But it's going to be this. I think this title is going to be decided on the head-to-head. So the Bina head-to-head is very balanced, but it's not still a foregone conclusion, really. Of course, Inter, 13 points behind Napoli. They might have to look at the race for the fourth spot.
Going to be interesting, isn't it? And you never know, that break might just help Napoli given what happened last year, but we shall see. It's all very, very different this year. Let's get a reminder of Daniele's selections. If you were with us last week, every single one of Daniele's picks came good. One was a push, admittedly, but it doesn't matter because you got your money back, you didn't lose, and Daniele managed to get the other four selections in, and these are the selections for this week. Cremonese versus Milan, both teams to score, yes, -132. Fiorentina versus Salernitana, over 2.5 goals, -130. Inter against Bologna, both teams to score, one of our selections as well, as you just saw there. And there is the weekly handicappers, the betting weekly handicappers league table for you. Liga is still going well, +863, as you can see. But Serie A, we're back in profit here, +291. Terrific tipping from Daniele over the course of the late summer into the autumn. And we've got two more weeks, of course, this midweek and then the weekend coming up as well. So that's
the wrong screen. Is it technology? That gets me. Okay, that's the right.
I got about halfway down. Lazio Monza, over 2.5 goals, -155. And I think this is the best bet of the week, actually, this one. Juve to win against Verona and under 4.5 goals, +110. It's a really good price for that. Look forward to see. Yeah, because as we know, you know, when they're an efficient side rather than a flamboyant side, we know that Verona, they get beat, but they don't get beat 5, 6 or 7 or something ridiculous. They're just on an awful losing run at the moment. +291, you can see there, the Serie A profit and loss for the season so far. Really good stuff, Daniele, as per usual. Enjoyed your company. We have got one final weekend to come, so we will reconvene on Thursday for that one. And don't forget, we've got lots of World Cup content coming your way as well. Daniele is going to be part of that. We're going to be looking at groups, outrights, and we've got match previews throughout the tournament as well. So watch out for that on the Bet Rivers YouTube channel and via the podcast. And of course, stay across all of the selections and the podcasts and the YouTube content via our Twitter handle @BecauseWeWin. That is it for this midweek slate. We will speak again later this week.
Ciao, see you soon.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly Serie A on the Bet Rivers Network.